also will be, of course, the presentation of the new administration, which is kind of like the old administration, but nevertheless, it's a new administration. That gives you call it a flip-flop of the old administration. Anyway, it's at Maggiano's Italian Family Restaurant in Riverside Mall here in North Hackensack, just off Route 4 and Hackensack Avenue. And you must have a ticket to get in and enjoy the meal. We've already committed reservations to the number of people who are expected, and it's $25 a head. I think it might be a bit late to ask for a ticket, but you might squeeze one in if you speak to the president, Bruce. So come one, come all, if you've got your ticket on Sunday night. On another aside, there is a Fairlawn Amateur Radio dinner this Friday night, also at 6 o'clock, in the same room that they had the auction last week. And that was at the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Senior the Fairlawn Senior Center. Interested, if you're a Fairlawn member or a good friend of a Fairlawn member, you're welcome to join. And I guess that's about it for now. Anything else you can comment on, please let me know.
First, does anybody have any comments for Tony on what he raised? Okay, another thought is to contact Bob Javits or possibly, W2ML, EB. But Bob, WB2AIU, is probably a good choice if you're going to do that. He might be able to help you with that if you're not reached. You're not able to reach Bruce. But act quickly because the reservation is in the lake. We're certainly going to have a good old time. I know I admire endlessly the W2TTT wood thing that came my way last year. I thought that was really cool. And, one of my cherished pieces of tchotchkes. It's right here in front of me. I don't have many tchotchkes in my office. I have a portrait of my wife, which her college graduation picture, and a copy of my ham radio license, and a pen that someone gave me, and some other goodies. And then, this W2GTT thing. Which is pretty awesome. So never know what wonders come your way at a better dinner. Let's see. Anybody else have any more questions for Tony? J-Lo, I think Friday is a potluck at Fairlawn. I think you should try to bring something if possible. Yeah, although you might check with Sid or one of the other guys in the club, they might be able to clarify that. And then, oddly enough, 1070 is having their dinner Saturday night. Oh, dear me. I'm just happy I can make the Barrow one because I can't make the others. I will not be available. I'm going to be a scout outing this weekend at Bear Mountain. Alrighty. Kit night is next Tuesday, and trying to think what else is kicking around. There will be kit night until Christmas at the high school like there has been, but not on the 28th. No kit night on the 28th. I think that's true. And let's see. What else? Coffee is Tuesdays and Fridays at the mall. Nancy and I might try to make that tomorrow morning. We'll see. I gotta check my calendar to see if that's gonna work, but I'd like to. Yeah, I don't know what else. Anything else going on other than nets? Meeting in December is the dinner, so there is no Sunday night meeting at the Washington Township Hall. Where we've moved our meetings, we no longer meet at the Red Cross for those who might not be up to date on that. And I think that's about it that I can think of. Anything else?
One more thing.
Uno más, por favor. Oh, that means, that's cerveza. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
KGI is having a customer appreciation event this weekend, starting tomorrow at 1 p.m., running late into the evening, and then during the day on Saturday and Sunday. He usually has some drawings and things, you know, so you want to hang out there and, you know, have your ticket pulled out of the hat at least once. But, you know, he'll have some folks up there to talk to from the various manufacturers and so on. Now, I believe he will also be at the... I wonder how he's going to do that. I understand he's going to be at the Fairlawn dinner tomorrow night, along with a certain other gentleman. Anyway, so it's going to be an interesting event. Anyway, NS2K, back to net.
Ah, that's a good question. How he's going to do that? Maybe Randy will run the floor until closing. Maybe, you know, who knows? Ahead of my pay grade. But yeah, the customer appreciation days in December are always good. So much so that I'm going to try to politic to move the scout camp out to the second weekend of December. I think they can do that without materially impacting the attendance. So I'm going to have to run that by some parents. Like, yeah, what happens if we run this on the second weekend? What would have happened? I got to check one other thing that we do, too, which is that, speaking of KJI, he's going to be, along with Souder Electronics, who some of you have met, and also the, she's the connector lady, Kathy Souder, who comes to the Barry Hamfest and others, and was at Satellite Sam, and, let's see, who else? A couple of the guys from New York are coming. Their tables and stuff, and their fun and games. So it's going to be all sorts of stuff at the on the 11th. We'll have a craft fair, ham fest, and breakfast. There's no admission charge. It's at St. John's and Burger Fuel for Adventure Cruise 7373, and that will be quite cool. And we're going to kind of make that a habit, I think, going forward. This is a real winner of activity. But if you recall the last campus, we only had a few vendors, and they weren't very many commercial ham vendors. Well, this time we've got commercial ham vendors coming. And so that's good. So if there's stuff you won't, you know, be able to get until, you know, a spring ham fest, so this is a good time to come. It's also a good time to drag your YL and your kids there, because you can feed them breakfast next Saturday, week from this Saturday. And there's also opportunities to, you know, buy some Christmas stuff, eat the crafty fair kind of thing. It's the holidays, yeah. All that good stuff. Speaking of which, I'd like to wish everybody who's observant the Jewish faith of the Happy Hanukkah. It's the second night of Hanukkah, which is a beautiful thing. And may your lamp always run eternally. And what do you call, we're coming up on Christmas as well, in the new year, for those who are secular. So I guess that all works. And in any case, but it's a good time to come and think about those things as well. And let's see what else. I think that's about all that I have announced. Does anybody else have any announcements before we move on to the next question? Alrighty. Well, with that happiness in mind, we're going to go to Mr. N2OEL, who had a question and a comment. Go ahead, Noel. Keep to the air.
Okay. I'm still trying to get a antenna for my van, the motorhome. And somebody had suggested if I wanted to have a matched antenna, just take 40 meters of wire, put it a few sticks up there on the roof, and wind the wire around and around for 4 to 6 inches separation, which would probably be about 3 times around, would fit very nicely, and run it that way. That was the question. The comment was, I just sent my amp back to Avatron, pack and ship to Mississippi a few pennies less than $40. That was the comment. So back to the question.
I'm sorry, you confounded me. Where was the question and all that?
Okay. If you got a fiberglass roof and antenna that reasonably matches and reasonably gets out, and you make a coil wire that's approximately 15, 16 feet long, 5 feet across, and it's a rectangular shape, and you go 3 turns, approximately 40 meters of wire, would that work as an HF antenna?
Can you build a wire, a coiled counterpoise? Is that what you're basically asking? The answer is yes.
No counterpoise, just a big coil, but you wouldn't have that much inductance because the space of the wire is about 6 inches apart, and it would be approximately 40 meters long. And it would be wound on a coil form that would be approximately 15, 16 feet long by 5 feet wide.
Okay, so a full wave counterpoise?
What counterpoise? The whole antenna is just that coil of wire.
Oh, I see. The way you posed the question, it sounded like you had an antenna, then you were going to attach the full wave right to the wire. Well, yeah, you could do that. Could you make it a quarter wave? Yeah, I would make it a quarter wave. Actually, I would probably make it, personally, you could do that, go round and round. Yeah, I guess you could. But then you can load your bed springs too. So let me suggest that a linear loaded loop might be better. For receiving, what you have in mind is kind of neat, actually, although it doesn't have much of a null because of the orientation in the horizontal plane, but it would seem to me that you would be better off with it to be linear loaded from a feed point and then just not touching at the far end. I think that would be, to get your length, I think that might be a better way of going. Anybody else have any thoughts as to how to accomplish Noel's desire for some sort of loopy or bent, folded, spindled, and mutilated antenna? Mr. Noel.
Well, I just wanted something that would work reasonably well and better than a screwdriver, because if I put a screwdriver on the roof, I got no metal there. It's all fiberglass.
Right, so what I think you might want to do is linearly load the thing around. So let's just do a for instance here. You've got a horizontal rectangle. Let's say you fed it over the center of the door in the back. So you use that as your dipole feed point up high on the fiberglass. And you took some PVC and wrapped some cable around. Basically, you could do it inside or outside, it's up to you. But basically, build yourself a fiberglass halo of maybe an inch and a half or 2 inch PVC, and then just linearly load 33 feet of wire on each side of the thing, and then straighten it out at the end where the last few feet, you would just leave it straight where they're almost coming tip to touch, tip to tip. At the point opposite the feed point. At that point, you would have a 40 meter bent horizontal dipole, or like a halo, but it would be slightly linearly loaded. And I don't think it'd be that bad, actually, because you have a pretty good dimension. I mean, you've got, 4 feet on each side, or thereabouts, and then going front to back, you probably have another 10 or so feet on each side, so 415 feet. So you only have to have a roughly a 2-to-1 linearly loading ratio, which is not bad.
How many bands would it work?
Well, if you make it for 40, it'll work on 40 and 15 really well. You could potentially try, the fan dipole method, where you put them in parallel and separate them vertically from each other. That might be something cool to do. So you put the lowest frequency you want to cover at the bottom, and then maybe 4 or 6 inches above it, you run, do another one, and then each one could be successively shorter or less, loaded, if you will. By the time you get to 10 meters, you wouldn't even have anything loading at all if you want to try it that way. Strikes me that your 40 would work well on 15, and your 80 would work pretty well on 20. I would think that would probably work pretty well if you want to try an 80 meter one. And you try that, so that'd be a good start.
Okay, fan dipole, but of course the two legs would be only 5 feet apart.
Your car, your van is more than 5 feet wide. Your van is about 7 or 8 feet wide, isn't it?
Widest point at the bottom, 81 inches.
Okay, so that means it would be about, 7 feet apart.
No, for a different reason. Turns out that when you drive something that's 9'4" high, in campgrounds and around the woods, there is these amazing green things called trees, and they tend to brush against the roof. So anything that's sticking out, such as an antenna, out beyond the fiberglass roof, which is only about 5 feet across, it's going to get knocked off. So I'm trying to keep everything within the confines of the fiberglass roof.
Okay, so if you graft it onto the outside of this thing, a PVC frame is tight to the fiberglass, but on the outside, I don't think you'll have much trouble other than an occasional bit of bug catching going on, but I'd make one up for 40 meters and try it. Get it to be resonant, use an antenna analyzer and trim it until you're done. But I'd linearly load most of it, except for the part that maybe the last little bit before the corners turn into the front toward each other's tip, and then leave about a four-inch gap in the far end at the front, and just trim it accordingly. I think it'd be kick-ass. The other thing you should do is definitely run a ballon on it at the feed point so that you don't have any imbalanced current issues.
A one-to-one current type?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
What's the plan? And do OEL.
But I'd put it on the outside. I really would. I would build that build that PVC frame so it's an exact fit, like a crown of thorns, except in this case it's just a PVC girdle. And just put some heavy wire on it and wrap it around the PVC. And just before it gets to the far corners, I would, last foot or so, I'd make it straight around the corner and put it to the end. In fact, make it duck inside at that point. What the hell? Unless you want to keep it on the outside just to make it easier to trim. I think it would just be marvelous. In fact, you could even make the two tips come 4 inches apart and then go back straight in the air and use that as your trimming space, potentially. I don't know. Anybody have any comments or thoughts about this kind of antenna? Folded dipole, linear loaded folded dipole? All right, well, keep in mind that when you build it on the ground, even if it's in the air, on this PVC frame, it's going to have one resonant point, and the second you drop it on top of the vehicle, on top of the PVC, it's going to have yet another resonant point. So you want to kind of mess with that a little bit, okay?
Yeah, if I use white household wire, it'll match.
Sure. Yeah, sure, number 10 solid, or number 10, number 12 solid, be great. Use that, you have 30-odd feet on each side. I start with 33, feet on each side, 33 and a half maybe. See where it is and just place it on the roof. you know, once you're there and start trimming, or start with the antennalizer, get a characteristic, trim it, and see where it goes, and go from there. I mean, it's going to be a little hard to trim because the trimming point's up, you know, up on the top, but away, I mean, conceivably you could reverse it for alignment purposes, put the feed point in the front and put the trimming point in the back, so that way you could adjust it with a ladder in the back, but I don't know where you'd bring the coax in the front, so that was my thought about that. The other thing to think about the PVC is that ultimately you probably want to put some caps on the end, and the only reason for that is that as you drive down the highway it won't whistle or howl.
Sort of like the bus bombers in the Second World War when they dived, they screamed, okay, and too early on.
Exactamundo, there you go. All right. Well, good. This is excellent. Anybody have any comments on this one?
WD.
AJ4WD, go ahead.
You were talking about coiling the wire around the PVC. You need to make sure that you have even spacing. Or you start to defeat the purpose, would that be true?
Yeah, to some degree. To some degree, absolutely. You know, so yes, you know, have some reasonably consistent linear loading. So as you come away from the feed point, a little short straight length, then maybe from the corner down the length, but not quite down the length, all the way, do your linear loading, go straight again, then the bend toward the center, and then make that all continue to be straight. And, yeah, that's all good. That would work just fine.
Also, wouldn't you want to have the coil going in the same direction for both sides?
Oh, yes. Good point. It's not something you want to have. It's an issue. Stand by. I want to have to answer this call real quick.
Rachel, you mean the coils should not be mirror images of each other? Or they should be? Or they should be both going exactly the same direction?
Going in the same direction, otherwise you're going to have cancellations of your signal.
Really? I thought I would really put them in mirror images, so when I'm going down the right side, the coming over the top of the PVC pipe, the outside, and going down the left side, the tops of the PVC, the outside. But I would build two exactly the same and then put them up there.
Absolutely. Use the left-hand thumb rule or the right-hand thumb rule, but use the same rule.
Okay, sounds good. Enjoy them.
And, you know, that's a really good point, Rachel. Thank you for bringing that up. When you wind your coils, make sure you orient them the same way. Which is a nice way of saying, by the way, don't flip. Make sure the innies and the outers, and they're going in the same direction so that the windings are flowing in the same direction. Alrighty. So, let's see. Anything else on this one? And you also have a comment, Noel.
Comment was about the shipping charges. I was amazed how inexpensive the UPS store charged me, like $6 to $7 to pack the amplifier and lots of bubble wrap and peanuts, box and everything. That I couldn't do it for myself for that price. Couldn't buy the stuff for that price. And it was like, everything came to $39 and change. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I've actually had some really good luck with the UPS store lately, so I would tend to agree with you. In fact, I'm going to have some more contact with them. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow or Monday, but I will definitely have contact with them as I sold a radio recently. And have to administer the device into oblivion, as they say. So, you know. But I've had very, very good work with the UPS store. I've had good luck with the FedEx, you know, store as well, but I must confess that in the end, the UPS store has been really, really good. All right. Anybody else have questions or comments? All right. Well, that was useful. Let's see. I'm just trying to think, was there anything else that people had on the list? Yeah, we got Marco's question, Tony's. Anybody on EchoLink have any questions? Okay, very good. And while we were doing this net tonight, I had a really neat little adventure happen. I now have in my home free cell service. What does that mean? It means, technically, I don't need my phone line anymore if I don't want to. A wired phone, that is. I have a AT&T 3G micro cell, which is my own personal cell site for our household. And even though we live in a strong signal area, it has advantages because we then don't burn minutes for any calls that are on 3G micro cell. We originated on a 3G micro cell. Don't pay any minutes, even if we go out on the public net. So we start a call at home and finish it at home. There's no minute charges. And if we start it at home and go out on the road, again, it doesn't generate any minute charges as well for the duration of that call. If something starts on the public net and then you come home, well then, no, you gotta, at that point, the calls may transition to the cell, but the bottom line is that the microcell at that point doesn't accept your, it'll take the call transition, but it won't save you the minutes. This is good for data and voice. Supports up to 10 numbers and up to 4 simultaneous connections, either data or voice. So it's very, very cool. In the case of this, it could be, let me drop it. In this case, it could also be, you know, AT&T runs integrated voice data, so those, you know, calls can be both at the same time. It's only to be considered one call, which is very cool. So anyway, this is what I'm doing. What it does use is that it basically uses my residential broadband. In my case, it's Verizon Fios, but it could just as easily be Cablevision or one of the other cell carriers, or one of the other broadband carriers. It could even be AT&T DSL for that matter. And so basically now, I have it all installed. It does support E911. It does have a home, location record of my home address. And it also is confirmed by an internal GPS, which only took a few minutes to lock inside my house. So I didn't have to put it in a window or anything like that. And it took about maybe 15 minutes for the administration to kick in. I say up to 90 minutes, but it locked in pretty quickly. And so I have a 3G microcell connection now in my home. So that's very cool. So, I have some ideas for this as well. One of them, it would destroy the home location record validity, but one of the thoughts I had was, let's say you had a private, let's say an OEM kind of network or some other broadband backbone, you could conceivably drop these into an area with, should we say, private or other carriers' broadband, wireless broadband, and provide another cell company's cell coverage over a different broadband wireless data network. And that might be useful as well for compatibility where some devices, some carrier's devices would not be supported. So that's kind of cool too. Got some things on that, but just figured everybody would enjoy this. I know Jim NS2K, you've had that problem in your site, and there's no cost for having these things except simply buying it. That's the only requirement. You have to pay about $150 for one of these. I got mine from an internal source where I work, but it's all working, and it came right up and did exactly what it's supposed to do. The administration was 5 minutes. It sat in the box to install, and about 15 minutes for it to come live on the network. Very cool. Anybody have any questions about this stuff?
What about the antenna?
Okay, so the antenna's built in because they don't want you to compete with the public network. It uses the same, towers or the same frequencies as what's used on the macro cell network and the public network. So you do have to be thoughtful of that. On the other hand, the other antenna, it does have an external antenna port. Should you be in a place in your house where you just want to place it for good cell coverage inside your house, but you need to get a GPS signal in there, there is an external antenna adapter available. The product is manufactured by Cisco. This one is set up for the AT&T network in a very unique package for AT&T alone. But it's very, very good that way. So runs on 12 volts, standard coaxial power connector, fly is what, M or O or something like that. And so, center hot, 12 volts, yada, yada. Came with one, you can actually plug a laptop into this thing or a computer. And so if you don't have a router in your house, just have a simple modem, broadband modem, you can plug your computer in to this and then this into your modem, and it will all work just fine. So that was I think, the answer to your question, Rachel, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. I will say this. There is a Discord report that's run every couple of days within our network, within the AT&T network, that will check to see if the administered address is within reasonable tolerance of the GPS reading that's coming out of the box. So they do want to make sure that your administered address and your actual location are roughly harmonized, because for E911 service, it's important that those match up. I think that's what we want to cover. Anybody else have any questions? Alrighty. Well, very, very good. Well, just for reference, Jim, I'm going to send you a picture of it installed and lit up. It will show up on your cell phone. I think you have texting. It's on the number 8 ending in 77. I think that's your cell number, right?
Yeah, the 877 number.
Yeah, okay. Yep, that's the one I'm going to send it to. So you're going to get a pictorial text message momentarily with that. And that's pretty much all I have on this one. But it's certainly something different. This has to do with something I'm working on in engineering, system support for these things. So I was given it because I had the audacity to make some really good suggestions that we're against the conventional wisdom, and they held weight. And so someone handed me one as a way of publicly saying, you need to keep giving us good ideas. And so that kind of made a statement right there. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, it's all good. Alrighty. I've already given you guys one idea about emergency management ideas for using these things. Now there's another thing called a MiFi, which is a little different, which is people have it, it's a cellular device, it's got a cell modem built into it, and it makes the little Wi-Fi hotspot just for you and your administered friends. Usually it'll support 2 to 6 connections, and people have seen those as well. I don't know if people have seen those, but they make some with internal batteries that they literally are smaller than a cigarette pack. That's another thing to think about for other, shall we say, wireless opportunities, as they say. Yeah, kind of like the Rube Goldberg version of that with a Cradlepoint MBR-1000 with a cell modem plugged into its USB port. Does that, but it doesn't have internal power and stuff, but it's a little more powerful, but it's certainly not compact, and you have to kind of cobble things together. But anybody have any experience with MiFi type devices? All right, I know somebody I ran into recently had one, but all right. Well, the photo's coming to you, Mr. Jackson, and anyway, it's all lit up, and it's working, and the way you know, by the way, that it's working in your world is that, in my case, it says AT&T Microcell on my screen of my phone. When it has coverage to the Microcell, it actually tells me that that's what it's doing. So it's pretty straightforward. So you know when you pick up the phone as to whether or not you're on the public network or on your own little private, world here. Mine says AT&T Microcell. It's with AT&T. So I'm sure the other carriers work pretty much the same way. Anybody else?
Same question.
Sir, go ahead.
Didn't you know that was it Wi-Fi or cell? Like one or the other kills trees for miles around. I don't know where someone comes up with this, some of this stuff. Anyway, no, I'm almost surprised that you don't take advantage of these things for just generally extending the range of your network if someone is happy to put such a thing in their facility. Anyway, but I suppose that's a whole different thing. You'd have to manage at least some aspects of it under those circumstances.
Well, these are managed devices. What I think you were bucking for is whether or not you should, go out, you should have to buy one of your own or whatever versus having one provided to you. I think that's what you were bucking for. That's beyond my pay grade, so I'm going to pretend you didn't answer that question in amateur radio and of me as an employee of the company. I can't answer that question. But you can dial 611 at your own speed and, during business hours and rant like anybody else does and see what happens. In any case, I think these things are meant to, to cover marginal signal areas. There's no question about it. And there's all sorts of good, good things kicking around. To make your service better, and, you know, you might consider this. I mean, it's something to, might consider making this investment, as it were. In fact, in my case, they say, you shouldn't have one here, but it activated just fine. So I don't know what their problem is. I mean, I have a 5-bar, 6-bar area, and it sorted it out just fine. It's not going to interfere with the macro cell or the public network, if you will, at all. I'm going to run some tests in a little bit, see how far I can walk away from this thing and see how well it works. Then I'll be on my way from the public net.
Well, in my case, there's a commercial operation across the street with customers who I'm sure would appreciate somewhat improved service, since it's like really flaky, and I wouldn't mind providing such a thing, even if it were at my own expense, as it were, as long as there were no additional charge to use the darn thing. But not to necessarily limit it to the 4 or whatever it is, 10 registered users, but, you know, make it so that anyone could use it. Of course, you then run into potential liability issues, legal liability issues, where they're all flaky about what might be downloaded or otherwise accessed through your network address. I suppose that might be something of an issue. And it's 2K.
No, actually, that's not a problem. The difference is I cannot answer that question. The issue is that these things are meant to be have a very, very small footprint. I mean, I will be surprised if I can walk more than 100 or so feet from my house and have this work. We'll see. I would be very doubtful if more than a few yards from my property lines in certain directions that I will still have coverage. I will let you know, because I will be testing that whole next 10 or minutes or so. The issue is really of the home location register, how that's administered. And the home location register is what's used to provide E911 service to you. So I think the only liability is that. It's not so much what happens on your address, your network address, because they can sort that out. And if they know what mobile device was in use, so the responsibility to go back to the device, that's not a big problem. But it really comes down to HLR issues and also the scope of the area they want to cover. They really want to keep it down to a household. So much so that expansive households, in some cases, have multiples of these things, and you can actually install multiples. But there are no carry-on charges, and there are a lot of advantages. There's some additional features you can pay for. I don't know much about them, frankly, and I'm not going to hear the advertising. That's not what I was looking at this from a technology perspective. But I do know that if you start a call on your microcell and go off to work or go off to the store or go off to the mall or whatever, as long as that call is up, you're not accumulating minutes against your minutes, even though you're on the public network. That's the gimme back, if you will. So it's just a way to share bandwidth and a way to get people off the public network in a constructive way and make their life a little more seamless.
A DANI problem from my standpoint is the place where I would most likely be sharing with is in a different township, which gets really kind of weird. Anyway, suppose we can let this go for now, and I'll take a peek at the cell here shortly. Talk to you soon. NS2K.
Okay, keep in mind that Annie is not the issue for 911. Allie is. That's the automatic location indicator, not automatic number identification. Trust me, if you have a cell device and it's registered to you, then whatever happens to it, you're responsible for, until you can prove otherwise, that you're not responsible for whatever happened while, you know, from that device. The phone itself is assigned to you. Something bad happens with that phone, someone will come looking for you, not for whoever had it, you know, had the hands on it. At that point, it might be a fingerprint question more than anything. Anyway, so I think at this point I need to close the net. Anybody else have anything? Alrighty, well, I will be on the repeater in a couple of minutes, and I will tell you when I walk out the door to get in my car as to how far I was before I lost the microcell reading. Now, the microcell is on the third floor of my house. It is in the center of the house, so it's not near a window of any kind. And it's buried among a bunch of other electronics, which you probably can see from those of you who got the picture, but anyway. We'll see what happens. So I'll be on the repeater in a couple of minutes and we'll figure it out. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. Look forward to seeing a lot of you folks on Sunday. I want to thank those who checked in tonight with some really good questions and diverse questions. So thank you very much and enjoy. This is K2BAR, WTTT, signing clear, 73.